You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. It's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markep program, Joe Markep.
I will tell you, it's very impressive that Pastor Dave can count backwards.
But only from 10.
Only from 10. Right? So it was called, and then you turned the light on, it says on air.
Yeah, I did
this
that.
This is, you know, you're quite a multitasking.
As long as both hands work, I'm in pretty good shape.
Well, what if you run out of fingers, though, is the problem. Then you got to use your toes to count, right?
Well, that's where the phrase keep him on his toes came from.
Now, Pastor Dave waved a sign at me before we started saying, Joe, dummy, use the phone number. Don't forget to tell people the phone number. Now, normally we use Alan Love to do that, but he's been napping on me, so I can't really trust him to do it. So I'm going to give the phone number the first time, which is toll-free. Now, class, you need to write this phone number down. Keep it near your phone. I tell you this every week. Some of you are not listening, or if you're listening, you're not hearing, or you don't care. One of the three, or all three. 1-888-221-8990. If you have a cell phone, you don't even have to dial the 1. 888-221-8990. That's toll-free from any place. 888-221-8990. I am Joe Martech. This is the Team Martech Hour. Most of the team abandoned me today, but Alan Love, guest team member, retired prosecuting attorney from the great state of Wisconsin, is here. Along with Pastor Dave, who is somewhat educated, because I've been picking on him now for a good year or so.
I've learned a lot from you, Joe.
Thank you. And that's our whole mission here. Understand this group, we started doing radio shows back in 2004, and the concept was pretty simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I have clients not only in Florida, but in 13 states, because people move and referrals, etc. But clients would ask me questions that I do not know the answer to, and I feel somewhat obligated to make sure that my clients are given the best information possible. So over a period of years, I assembled a group of local professionals. Now, we don't house together, meaning we don't share office space, we don't share commissions, we don't share fees. My whole thing was I wanted to find the best people I could that are local professionals that have been in business a long time, with integrity, with credibility. And thank you, Lord, in my not too humble opinion, which is one of my character flaws, I think that I have assembled as good a group of people as God has made in our local community. Vince Rizzino, CPA. Vince is not here today. He probably has some excuse, like he's working or something.
Could be, yeah.
You know, that's it. Or he might be taking care of the grandkids again, which, you know, grandma says you have to do that every so often, whether you like it or not. And he's afraid of his, you know, his wife, so he has to do that.
It's in the contract.
You might. It's in it. You know, I think it is in that.
Yeah.
Isn't that
yeah.
in the marriage vows?
I'm sure. Somewhere.
Alan, do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
See, I told you. We got an attorney, an absolute attorney opinion, which you hear. And when an attorney gives you an opinion that fast, that's a categorical statement. There's no room for argument.
No, I just wanted to prove to you I was awake.
Very good. I'm impressed. Anyway, Vince Rizzino, CPA, not only a CPA, but a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. He also is an ex-college professor. The man knows his stuff. I value him as not only a professional, but as a friend. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. We go back to 2004 when we started doing the radio shows. The word independent insurance agent means he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client. What's the difference? Well, if you work for one insurance company, and there's a lot of good companies out there. I used to be a Farmers insurance agent, which is a big, big company. But if Farmers didn't do it, I was in a bit of a problem taking care of my client.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Farmers and a lot of the captive insurance companies would allow you to go outside of their area of expertise to find another company. But as soon as they found out you were a captive company, the other company said, no, all you're going to give us is your leftovers, so we don't want you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The independent insurance agent, now, so you can be an independent with one company. Dan is 30-some years, pushing 40 years in business. Under his umbrella is about 100 companies, might be more than that. And again, not too humble opinion, he is the premier insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. And I think, Alan, does he insure you?
Yes, my automobile.
Yeah, he insures me, my house, I mean, everything. And I shop. I mean, every time I get a renewal, I have no loyalty to any insurance company. And a lot of people do, but I don't. Because
mm-hmm.
I learned over a period of years, it doesn't make any difference. Whoever's the best value, I get the best price, and they're a solid company or an A-rated company, Dan automatically shops for me.
Mm-hmm.
So every 6 months or whatever, when the renewals come, when I call up the company and I'll say, hey, how we doing? Got anybody any better? Nope, Joe. Joe, we're stuck with you. Don't have any more tickets and accidents, Joe.
That's good advice.
That's good advice. Anyway, Greg Fasula, attorney. For those of you that have listened to the show, I've told this story 100 times, and I'll probably end up telling it another 100 or 200 before I die. Thanks, Lord, you don't need to do it quickly. But if you do, it's okay. When I meet a new suspect or prospect, I often talk about a will or a trust, and if they don't have one, I feel somewhat obligated to bring up that subject and to get people thinking about that. Because if you die without such a document, the state's got it all figured out, your family's going to be upset. It could take 6 months or a year to settle your estate. And not everybody needs these instruments, but you need to know what you do need and what you don't need before you make no decision or a decision. So I would interview attorneys, and I don't know how many years I've known Greg, but it's been over 20. We know that. And why Greg Fasula? One, he's patient. One, he's a good listener. Does this not sound like an attorney so far? He's not arrogant. He's not pretentious. Last but not least, he's fair. He doesn't gouge people. More important than that, if Greg does not know it in his expertise as an attorney, he will tell you, this is not my area of expertise, and he'll refer you to somebody else that he feels has integrity and credibility to handle your particular problem. And Alan, being an attorney, you know not all attorneys do that. Some will say, hey, give me a check for $2,000 or $3,000 and I'll take care of it. And they may not have to have a clue how to do it, but they'll look it up in the books and start working on it on your dime to learn something that another person might take for granted and have more expertise and be better at. Greg does not do that. He's going to tell you flat out the truth every time. So no matter what happens when it comes to a legal situation, I call Greg and say, Greg, tell me what to do. He said, I don't do this, Joe, but here's a guy that I know that does. Or here's somebody that I don't know anybody that does that. You're going to have to go to the Florida bar. He will tell me straight up what I need to know to help my clients.
The most important thing I can say about Greg Fasula And I'm not just saying this because I know Greg Fasula. He is an attorney who stands behind two words which I think are the most important in the legal profession: integrity and ethics.
Mm-hmm. Flat out. You know, and Alan, you and I both know. I remember some years ago there's two attorneys in this town that are dearly departed, and I met both of them some years ago, and one in particular said, "Joe, I just having a hard time practicing anymore." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Used to be when we'd go into court or we'd meet, we'd shake hands, and I could trust my adversary to tell the truth. Can't do that anymore." Hmm. And he said it was really killed this guy because he was a straight shooter, a good guy. And you know that you remember those days, Alan, when you doctors were sacred and attorneys. I mean, these were really the rock that we could depend on. Well, something has happened in our culture that became a problem. So when I start looking for an attorney, that words that you just said, integrity and ethical, those are the two monster things. And Greg Fasula, he and I don't always agree politically, but we 1,000% agree on doing the right thing for a client.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
That's why you're in business.
There you go. Which brings me to Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. She's one of the newer members. It's been 4 or 5 years now. I have known her since 1980. This lady is probably the hardest working person alive, and I'm not talking about just in real estate. She's a worker. She only has two speeds, full blast or sleeping. She's stopped. If she says she's going to call you at 3 in the morning, she's going to call you at 3 in the morning. Integrity is a monster thing. You couldn't make this girl lie if you tried. She knows every street on these two counties, Martin and St. Lucie County, and half of the streets in northern Palm Beach County and Indian River County. The girl's going to tell you straight out. She can offend people once in a while because some people don't like to be told the truth.
Mm.
You ever notice that?
You're kidding about that.
You never heard of such a thing, right?
It's news to me.
Some people, they want to be told what they want to be told.
Right.
And it may not be in their best interest, but hey, it's like if you want to list your house. And you want to list your house for $300,000, but it's only worth $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oftentimes a realtor will just say, "Okay, fine, I'll list it for $300,000," and then they'll start working you over the next 6 months to bring the price down to $250,000 so it'll sell. Well, Victoria's going to tell you up front, "No, if you want to do it, that's fine, but it's not going to sell." Well, that'll tick people off. So, "Well, my house is superior to anybody else's." Okay, fine. And she has to then placate that person to a point. Mm-hmm. But if the people really want to sell their house, they need to know the truth. So what happens is a good realtor normally finds out comparables all over. They do what's called a market value to an appraisal and find out what all your competition is selling for. Then they come back and say, "Hey, look, here's the same house you have 3 blocks away, one that's 10 blocks, one that's 6 blocks, one that's 5, that's sold, and here's the prices. This one might have a little better carpeting, a little worse carpeting, a little of this, a little of that, and you can adjust for these items." But the girl does her job.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to Mike Paulus, who called earlier to say he might be here, but he's probably working, another excuse. Mortgage broker. I will tell you, what we have learned from Mike is, to put it mildly, phenomenal. In fact, I called Mike a couple of days ago about a reverse mortgage and knowing the criteria based on age and what you have to do to qualify. And things that he takes for granted, and I might have heard it, but I forgot it. But I have a client that wanted to know some information, so I said, "I'll get it for you, and here's the questions," and got them from Mike, and I can call the client and say, "Hey, here's your answers to the questions. Now, if you want to know more, here's Mike. You call him directly, because I cannot tell you everything because I don't do that." But you get a guy like Mike that knows that business upside one down the other. One of my biggest kicks was a few years ago with the height of the recession. You'd watch the tube or the newspaper, and they'd say there was no mortgage money available. That was never, ever true. What happened is the rules changed. The rules went back to the old rules that you had to prove you could make the payment.
Mm-hmm.
What a concept, right? Let's buy a house, and we don't have to prove we can make the payment. Well, boy, that lasted until the Great Recession hit, and all kinds of foreclosures and deed backs and short sales occurred. So the new rule is you've got to prove you can pay for it. That simple. Now, there's always been no money down mortgages. You can be VA or you can be USDA. There have been 3.5%, 400%, 5%, 10%, 20% mortgage. They've always been there. The qualifications have, they got a little tougher because you had to prove you can pay. Today, they're loosening up again, but they still, you have to prove you can afford it. So it's back basically to the old rules. So the concept of our group was to try to educate you, the consumer, on all of these different areas. Mine is financial advice. We had two calls last week asking about Social Security and different mm-hmm. things that happened, and I have spent many hours talking to the people at the Social Security Administration. I'm very impressed with the way they operate today. I've spent quite a bit of time talking to the Internal Revenue, and I'm impressed again that they have not become condescending or nasty. They become user-friendly, trying to help people. So there's a lot of expertise. When I add up our group combined, there's at least 200 years of experience. And if I add Alan Love, which is a guest member, that's over 300 years. Because now, Alan, you've got at least 100 years of experience. Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're not as old as you look. I keep getting confused. You're welcome.
You are so kind.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. Anything. But then we throw in Dave. Well, forget that part. No, that doesn't work.
I'm too heavy to throw in, but you can sort of let me crawl in on my own.
All we know is that pizza works, right?
Pizza works beautifully.
So the concept is to answer questions, to help you in all of these different areas, and we've been able to help many people, and it's been a mission of ours to try to get you on the right track to answer questions. We don't need to get paid. Most of us will help you over the phone, or if you need to talk in person, we'll be glad to sit with you and show you. None of us are going to charge anything when you first meet us. The whole concept is, can we educate you to make a better decision?
Amen.
When it comes to investing, I have people regularly that have existing retirement accounts, whether it's a 401k, a 403b. Found a 401a the other day, which was a new letter. I had never heard of a 401a, but I have always seen them as defined contribution plans, but I never saw the initials, the numbers or letters after it. But there's probably 20 or 30 different types of retirement programs out there, depending on who you work for, whether it's a profit or nonprofit, and whether they set up separate programs. But when you leave an existing employer, if you have a 401k, 403b, or any other number or letter, very often it's in your best interest to roll that away from them and put it into an account that you control, that the employer does not control, or the rules are your account rather than the company-sponsored account. It's not always the best interest, but very often it is. Very often it often opens up. As an example, if you have a company plan, you're not allowed to put the money in the bank that I've ever heard. I've never seen one yet that allows you to take the money and go put it in the local bank.
Neither have I.
I've never seen one. There may be one, but I've never seen it. Well, once you have your own account, you can go to the bank, you can go to a stockbroker. You got all kinds of different things that you can put your money into. Very often, employer plans might have 10 or 15 or 20 or 5 different options, and that's all they've got. Well, there's thousands of options once you get out. How do you learn them? Well, you don't need to learn them all, but if you talk to somebody that's a professional and you tell them what your goal is, what you want to accomplish, and what your risk tolerance, these are in-house words, folks, by the way, we can look and say, okay, fine, based on what you're telling me, this might work for you. And we give you different options and show you ways to go. 1-888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place. It actually worked in the Bahamas.
It did.
Huh? June 16th, Lord, please, thank you. If this rain quits, I'm going.
Good.
That's my name.
Will you call us while you're there?
No.
Oh.
But it costs $2.50 a minute to call.
Oh, okay.
Dave, you're not worth
$2.50. Okay.
Joe.
Maybe $1.40, huh?
$1.40 I can do.
Okay.
I think it may be appropriate, since it's just the two of us, to talk a little bit about a little review for those of you who listen to the show. But I always feel talking about protection of your money is very important, and also the growth of your money. And at this point, the stock market the past couple of months basically has been in a small trading range. We haven't had the volatility that we did earlier in the year. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the word volatility, all that means is wider swings up and down. That's what volatility
is. My analogy is marriage.
Okay. So you're on your sixth marriage now, is that correct?
No. I gave that up.
Oh, I see.
Well, here, what he's saying is this. Last year, let's just take the Standard & Poor's 500. Now, this is education. Most people have heard of that, the Standard & Poor's 500. A lot of people don't have a clue what it is, but it's simply 500 of America's biggest companies. These what we call the blue chips. Is that a fair analogy?
Yes.
Okay. We also have heard of the Dow Jones average. That's 30 of what's considered America's biggest companies. And even though not all of them are the biggest companies anymore, they maintain the Dow at 30 companies, the S&P 500 at 500 companies. I had a client that called me up some years ago and said, Joe, if the Dow goes up 10%, what does the S&P 500 do? And I said, well, it's not a fair analogy, but literally, they normally run neck and neck. If one goes up 10, the other one probably will go up 9 or 11 or 10. They're very close because 30 companies, 500 companies, and the way the averages work, they're weighted by the size of the company. That means if one company is 10 times bigger than the next company, they get 10 times more weight out of this 500 in the when they average them. Is that a fair way to phrase that?
Right, and I'm not entirely sure of the exact number, but I believe 25 or 26 companies in the S&P 500 are in the Dow Jones 30.
Yeah, so they kind of flow one together. Then there are other averages. The NASDAQ is like almost 4,000 companies, and it might be 4,000. I don't pay much attention. And the NASDAQ, most people consider it heavily weighted with tech companies, even though some of these same tech companies are also in the S&P 500. These are just competing stock exchanges. The New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ are the two dominant and the two biggest exchanges. So they now become an index. So you can actually invest in an index that says every company in the NASDAQ you can now own back into the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those of you who haven't heard the pizza, you can call up and Pastor Dave will explain that pizza to you.
Every time.
So the concept of it is, this is education. Where can you be invested? Now, there are other indexes. There are what's called small cap, which are smaller companies. Mid cap, obviously mid-sized companies. There are ones that are value companies, another index, which somebody comes up with the idea that these are better deals than ones that are not value companies. There are probably 30 or 40 total indexes which encompass the entire globe. So we can have the European, we can have the Italian, we can have the Pacific Rim. It goes on and on and on. I don't follow every one of them. What I try, nobody can be an expert on everything. There's like 30,000 different investments out there. So I try to stay relatively focused in certain areas and my predominant thinking is America and American companies. That's my main thing. Now, a lot of American companies actually do more business outside of America than they do in America, but they're based, domiciled here. We take our automobile companies, they're knocking them dead in China. Facebook is big. I mean, all kinds of different companies are doing extremely well outside of America, and that's good. Quite honestly, that just makes me feel more proud and more happy that we are in America, and in spite of the conflicts that go on internationally and politically. America is the land of milk and honey, as far as I'm concerned. There's not a better. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Mm. I forgot to tell you today, I feel guilty. We were just very fortunate that we were born or get to live here. Either way, it's just a gift. Anyway, so the concept of investing is, how do we pick the right stuff? Well, some people are pretty astute investors, and I know some, and quite honestly, they don't need a broker. I know some that are brilliant people, and their hobby is working the market all day, every day. Well, guess when you're working your own account and you know what you're doing, you're smarter than almost all brokers because you're only worried about one person. You're not worried about 300 or 200 or 500 clients. On the other hand, there's a lot of people who say, hey, I don't have time for that. I don't have an interest in that. I'd rather be playing golf or on the boat or working or raising families. So I need to find somebody that can guide me in the right direction, which now becomes the questions are, what's your goal? How much time do we have? How much money do we have? Are we going to contribute? Are we not going to contribute? Which means a lot of times people I have right now that put $500, $1,000, $2,000 every month into an account, saving for their, quote, retirement, or for whatever reason they want. It doesn't have to be just retirement. So now comes where Alan was leading a few minutes ago, and you thought I forgot, Alan.
No, I didn't.
Okay, very good.
Nice introduction.
Yeah, it was good. Thank you. What happens is we have what's called insured investments. Now, if you were 20 or 30 or even maybe 40, I may not be talking to you about this because you have a long time frame to be invested. But all of a sudden, you're 50, 60, 70. Your time frame may not be as long as when you're 20, 30, or 40. In fact, I had a fellow that came in to see me a few months ago, and he said, Joe, I had an account worth $1.5 million. Now it's down to $1 million. And my broker says, well, give me some time and I'll get it back up. And he says, I'm 80. How much time do you think I've got? Well, that's, you got to look at what you're invested in and what your goal is. And obviously, he was probably not in the right things based on his age because some volatility caught up with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can make it back, but he could even lose more because his time frame may not be long enough. So an insured investment simply says, okay, I can be in something like the S&P 500, or I can be in the NASDAQ 100 or the Dow or any number of these things that are making last year 15 or 20%, but then I can insure that. I can put an instrument over the top of that that says, hey, in case I die on a wrong day, no, I joke about that, but Dave, you know your family doesn't want you to die on a wrong day. They want you to die when the market's up if you're invested. They don't want you to die when the market's down because they get less money.
That's, my family doesn't care. They know I don't have any money, but I understand what you're saying.
Well, if you did have money, they'd like you better.
Oh, they would.
So what happens very often, if you're in, let's say you put $100,000 into the market, and all of a sudden the market goes down to $50,000 because of a recession or whatever, and you die, your family gets $50,000. But if you have an insured investment, maybe they'll get $100,000. Sometimes they get a 5% growing guaranteed growth death benefit, no matter what, so that that money's protected. Some of these companies say, okay, fine, we'll even guarantee you an income based on what you put in of 5 or 6% a year. And once a year, we'll step it up, meaning if the market goes up, we'll reset it up. The market goes down, we don't go down. You go only go up. So you know you're protected. So the concept of an insured investment puts together insurance with investment. Like I said, last year, I had clients that made really well, did 15, 20%. Well, I can't guarantee that's ever going to happen again. And Alan said it just a little while ago. Basically, since the first of the year, the market's flat. It might, the NASDAQ 100 might be up 3 or 4%, but the Dow and the S&P 500, if they're up at all, it's minimal, 1% or maybe even less. Well, that's what does happen in life. Now, that doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen by the end of the year. The economy is good. Everything is humming along. But very often, other factors come in that affect the market. Interest rates, inflation, things that 90% of the people don't even know about or care about because they say, gee, companies are knocking them dead. They're making money hand over fist. How come the market's not going up? Well, throw in the mitigators, these little things that we don't think about every day, and that can adversely affect it. Politics, international problems. Whether it's oil or ISIS or fighting wars, all kinds of things can adversely affect the market. And normally the market works 6 months to a year in advance in its thinking. Is that fair, Alan?
Yes, I don't know how it does it, but it does it quite accurately most of the time.
Yeah, it projects forward what's going to happen. And the market trades today based on what it thinks is going to happen 6 months from now. Mm-hmm. Now, are they right all the time? No. But they've been pretty good over a period of time, because now we have all of these Harvard MBAs and Boston College and you name it, best of the crop, analysts coming up with all kinds of charts and arrows and graphs to come up with what goes on. So these are a lot of flaming geniuses out there that come up, and are they all right? No. But, you know, the odds are good that they have a pretty good feel for what's going on, so that all of these things get plugged into this computer to come up with some kind of opinion. And there's probably 50 or 100 of these different computer programs with opinions, maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000 different. I mean, every time you turn around, there's somebody that's a genius out there trying to tell you how smart they are. That always worries me. I get it. You remember the old saying, if you can't do it, teach it? Mm. You heard that?
Oh, yeah.
You've heard that one, Alan?
I have indeed.
And we kind of get a kick out of it in here that a lot of times people don't know how to make a living on themselves, so they go teach people how to do it because they can't do it themselves. Well, how much credibility do you have if you can't do it yourself? But the people that can do it themselves, they rarely teach because they don't have to. You know, it's called, why would they go teach something if they're already doing extremely well with it?
Okay, Joe, let me ask you a teaching question. Let's say I have a stack of money that I want to put away.
When did you get that?
but I want to find somebody who has my interests at heart, who is reputable. How does the average person find somebody in your business?
Well, one, how long you've been in business? One. Two, what location? You know, whether you're dealing with an automobile mechanic, a pool company, I don't care what it is. If they've been in business 5 or 10 years in one location, that's usually a pretty good indicator that these are legitimate people. Florida's the land of soup and nuts. Excuse me, soup and nuts. Are those California people or Florida people? I get them confused.
I think they can be both.
They can be both. But they're scams. They're scam artists. There's people always willing to take money. And I hear it all the time. Do you remember, Dave, years ago they had these payphone deals where people, you could buy payphones and then...
Oh, yeah.
Well, those were... I think they may have started off legitimate, but then all of a sudden nobody wanted a payphone because of cell phones, so people lost all their money. Mm-hmm. The guy we had locally went to jail because he was lying. Every once in a while somebody will say, hey, I'm a strong Christian, and I lie to you straight, look you straight in the eye. Oh, mm-hmm. I can't wait till they meet Jesus one day to figure out how they're going to get past that one.
Yeah.
But the key thing that we're looking at is, how do you measure integrity? Well, experience is number one. Referrals are number two. I'm not saying that a young person new in business is not good at what they do, but you know, Alan, it's like a brand new attorney that just passed the bar exam and now he's going to go out and hang up the shingle and he's going to practice. He has no experience.
Well, before he hangs up the shingle, he's going to give a phone number, though. Please call us with your questions at 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990.
Very good.
But Joe, you know, when you have experienced people, there's still the problem that some experienced people are not as ethical as other experienced people. So I'm thinking there are two organizations out there, one for attorneys and one for people in the financial business, that people can go online. One is FINRA. .org, FINRA.org. That is a regulatory agency for everybody in the financial business. And you can go to that, put in the name of a person that you want to check, and it will give you all the details, including name, location, how long they've been in business, and any complaints or disciplinary actions against that person. And the other one I'm thinking of is going to the Florida Bar Association to check out any attorney as far as their practice, their experience, whether they're certified in certain legal fields. And that is a great starting point to find ethical people with integrity.
Well, there's no such thing as 100%. I don't care what happens. I mean, I think some of the most brilliant crooks in the world. Look at Bernie Madoff. He managed to steal billions of dollars, or misappropriate, maybe a better word. And he managed to get away with it forever for a very long period of time. And he checked out just as good as anybody in the world until the house of cards crumbled. So how do you really know? I mean, it's a very difficult thing. The thing that you have to do is just get the warm, fuzzy feeling. And that's probably, by the way, when I talk about an insured investment, I'm also supposed to say you, the customer, the client, is supposed to know about which insurance company it is and their claims paying ability. My compliance people say I have to say that by FINRA regs. But the key thing you do is you never give money to a person. You never give cash or make a check out to a person. It's got to be made out to a broker dealer, a clearinghouse, or to an insurance company. You never pay money to a person, ever. I'm not legally allowed to take money. Yesterday, a guy says, I'll bring you cash. And I said, you can't. You got to give me a check. He said, I'll go to the bank and get you a cashier's check. And I said, no, I'd rather have a personal check. They don't like cashier's checks because that doesn't show the source of the money. Whereas a personal check comes out of a checking account, a regular checking account. He says, well, I don't even have checks. And I said, well, go to the bank. They will give you a counter check. Don't make a cashier's check, a regular old check, and they'll put your name on it with your account number because that's just a regular checking account, not a certified check, not a cashier's check. And then my compliance people are happy. One of the big things they look for, and Alan, you know this is one of the big words, is money laundering. Money laundering means money that is illegally got. And sometimes people will take money illegally gotten and try to put it through a system to make it look like it was legal money. And very often that happens. I must go through, I don't know how many hours every year or two of continuing education about that particular topic, money laundering. Money strictly means this was money that might have been from drug dealing or who knows what illegal that's never been taxed, that the government doesn't know about, and somebody is trying to get it into a legitimate source. So when you're dealing with anybody when it comes to money, one, you never give them money, never give money made out to an individual. It's got to be made out to an organization. And preferably, if it's an insurance company, that makes it even simpler. They're very, very easy to check out. Now, another little thing we didn't talk about, insured investments, right?
Can I just bring up one point before on the what we've been discussing before we go into that?
You will
and the
anyway.
The point is this, Joe. You mentioned Bernie Madoff, right. But there is a responsibility of the individual client also. Yes, Bernie Madoff checked out that if you had gone to the regulatory sites, you wouldn't have seen any problems with them, but his clients were getting statements that they were making money every month. There was never or very, very few months where the statement shows even a minor loss. And that just doesn't happen in the real world.
The other side of the coin was he managed to find a way to get around the regulators. He managed to find a way to get around the regulators. So, I mean, you know, a crook, and I've seen them. I've seen people with every credential in the world. They passed every test. They got all the initials after their name that are crooks. And I, whether it's an attorney, a stockbroker, a financial advisor, a preacher, a minister, I mean, there's no walk of life that doesn't have people that of X number are unethical, that they're out there to do something wrong to make a buck. And it's a very sad thing. So, literally, when it comes to checking somebody out, the longer they're in business in one location, that helps. Remember again, don't ever make a check out to an individual. Make it out to a company, a brokerage house. Like my broker dealer is called Centaurus Financial, but they clear through Pershing, and Pershing is the biggest clearinghouse in America. It clears.
Just briefly want to explain what clearing is, because
yes,
that's an
you're going to do it for me.
Okay, basically, a clearing is where transactions are processed. That's really what a clearinghouse does.
Right.
Plain and simple.
And what they do is they, let's say you're the biggest stock brokerage firm in the world. You might have your own clearinghouse. And some of the big houses, big brokers do. But there's probably 600 or 800 that don't. that they go through a clearinghouse, and Pershing is one. So very often checks are made out to the clearinghouse, which is Pershing, which is a monster organization, very, very heavily regulated. I just can't imagine ever there being a problem. So that's one source. Going to an insurance company, whether it's XYZ, ABC, CDF company, hey, if you feel comfortable with that company, that's okay. You know, we all have insurance. One of the little things, this is something we often don't talk about, the state of Florida has what they call admitted companies. Admitted companies mean the state of Florida, it means they've checked them out, and they stand behind that company, and the state of Florida has guaranteed funds to protect the consumer in case a company gets in trouble. So all of these things add up to you being an educated consumer, but when it all boils down, to find somebody that has integrity is the most important thing. I don't care how you do it. I watched a young man in this town steal $1 million from some old people, and the people loved this kid, but he started dipping in the well, and all of a sudden the well got too deep, and he lost his licenses. He probably went to jail, but the client was backed up by SIPC, Securities Insurance Protection Corporation, and for fraud. So the people got all their money back. The broker dealer got a slap on the hand because they weren't regulating and monitoring this agent. But the bottom line was the client didn't lose. Mm-hmm. Now, if you deal with a person that is not licensed, big problem. Mm. Now, there's different licenses. Don't you love this part?
Mm.
You have, in the insurance industry, a life, health, and variable annuity license, and you also have casualty licenses, which means automobiles and businesses, etc. Well, that allows you to do insurance products only. Now, if you're securities licensed, that means stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and annuity contracts that are invested in the market, that's different licensing. In order to do both, you have to have multiple licenses, and you have to pass continuing education courses every year or two or three. I just keep taking them, and as long as I can pass them, I know I'm not fried. So that's one of the keys of life, is keep taking the continuing education. In fact, I just got a certified letter from my broker dealer, said, send us $70. You got to have to take this course between June 5th and October so-and-so. But you can't take it this week. Got to wait till after June 5th.
Mm.
But I got to give them the money in order to take the course. And if I don't take that course, I lose my license immediately.
Mm.
So that's kind of a urgency thing.
I would say so, yeah.
So I got it sitting out there marked on the calendar. Don't do it before June 5th because they won't take it. But they told me ahead of time, which is good. That's what my broker dealer does. Broker dealers are Merrill Lynch, Dean Witter, Smith Barney. Pick a name, all the names that we hear. Mine's called Centaurus Financial. There's about 600 reps, maybe 700 nationwide, all over. We're called independent reps. What's the difference between that and a captive rep? A captive rep can't walk around with beards on their faces like the three of us have.
Oh, okay.
It's not necessarily true anymore, but remember back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
That you had to wear three-piece suits. You couldn't have facial hair. You had to wear wingtip shoes. I mean, these were the rules. And you had to show up at a certain time and go at a certain time. Well, the independent rep has a contract with the broker-dealer, does the same basic thing, only they make sure that you do everything that you're supposed to do to stay legal and in the client's best interest to the best of their ability. It's just the rules of life, folks. I've often said, I call it the golden rule. He who has the gold rules.
Right.
So if you want to do business a certain way, the people that control the money, they set the rules, and you have to comply. You get a kick out of this, Dave. When I was back many years ago, I was in real estate business, and we used to do communities. And we would do, at some times we had 100 closings in a week.
Hmm.
And my clients would say, well, Joe, what do I do? And I says, you go and you sign all the papers and you don't say a word. Well, Joe, why? What if it's wrong? I said, you're going to sign a paper that says if it's wrong, you're going to make up the difference, and they're going to sign a paper that says that's wrong. They'll make up the difference. Well, what if I don't like what it says? Then don't buy.
Mm.
Because you can't change it. Those documents are all in concrete. You can't change one word of any of those things except the dates and the amount of money. If the date is one day difference, it's going to change. So people would go, and every once in a while, they'd get a check in the mail, or they'd be said, oh, you owe us $50 or something, because there was an error made, because all of these things were subject to audit.
Mm-hmm.
So many, many things are subject to audit, and there's many, many, many different legitimate, perfectly good companies out there. And most of us over a period of time learn the difference between. So whether you're dealing with an attorney to do a closing or a title insurance company to do a closing, I've never seen a problem that was done on purpose. These things are all very, 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 very clean, very, very good. And dealing with an insurance company, I've never seen an insurance company that did anything to hurt people. They have a contract, they have agreements, everything is done to the word. I've never seen a bad broker dealer, but I know there have been over a period of years, but I have not seen one in my life. And Alan, maybe, I don't know if you've seen any, but they were just a rare thing when you're dealing with somebody that is under such scrutiny from the government, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and then FINRA, which is a regulatory agency. All of these things are audited and audited and audited and regulated like crazy. So my job is basically to educate people so that they go in the right direction.
Right.
Period. And that's pretty much it.
Let me bring up another issue of why it's important that the client follow up and be aware of what's going on. I'll tell you a little personal story. I got a letter from an insurance company telling me that when I first started my career in the securities industry, that firm had purchased a retirement annuity for me. And they tracked me down here in Florida. And what they basically said to me is they wanted a copy of my divorce from Wisconsin to show that my ex-wife had no interest in maintenance or alimony or any other financial interest. So I got the information from the insurance company of where to send the document, and I sent a letter per instructions from the clerk of Circuit Court of Milwaukee. And I said, please send a copy of my divorce decree to the insurance company so they can process the annuity that I'm entitled to. Well, it was about 4 weeks, and I noticed that my $10 service fee check to the clerk's office had not cashed. So I called them up, and I said, about 4 weeks ago, I sent you this information in a $10 check, and my check has not cashed yet. The lady comes back on the line and tells me that my letter and the check was in my divorce file and that she would send out the information the next day. Now, if I had never called back, that check and letter would still be sitting there with nothing being done. So it's really important that not only do you choose a good ethical firm and a good ethical person to work with, but you keep track of what's going on.
You have to
follow. And if you are not looking at your monthly statements and understanding how to read them, you are not doing yourself good.
And very often I have people say, Joe, I can't figure this thing out. Explain it to me.
Ask a question.
Fine. And that's okay. You know, it's an interesting thing when you say that. And this has happened regularly. And David, probably in your life, different parishioners, different members of that you've known, this has happened to. They'll get a life insurance contract, and they'll have beneficiaries named in that life insurance contract. And very often, a husband will make his wife the beneficiary. Well, they get divorced, and he forgets to take his wife out, his ex-wife, and put his new wife in.
Mm-hmm.
By and by, he dies, and ex-wife gets the money. Now, the new wife, of course, she's mad now at him, but he's dead. There's nothing she can do about it. But the key is, I have physically... myself, I don't know how many times, in fact, one of our regular listeners, he has a retirement account, and we were going to roll it, but he couldn't. There was a period of time it had to be held. But I asked the question, who's the beneficiaries on it? And he found out it was his ex-wife. Boy, was he livid at himself for not thinking about that, because if he had dropped dead, his new wife would not have gotten a dime, and his ex would have gotten it. life insurance contracts, annuity contracts, retirement accounts with an employer, all kinds of things normally have a named beneficiary. You just have to every once in a while update or double check the named beneficiaries. Sometimes you'll name somebody 20 years ago that you don't think needs that now because you didn't die and you need to change it. Once in a while, it doesn't hurt to do that homework. If you have problems doing that homework, you call 1-888-221-8990 and say, hey, have Joe Martek help me do this. Or any one of us. We'll all be glad, because this is stuff that's not hard for us to do. We've had numerous occasions where people would call into the radio station looking for help because whoever they were talking to was not helping them. They just kind of pushed them aside because they didn't know how to talk, to ask the questions properly, and they were just kind of forgotten. Well, that kind of ticks me off. Mm-hmm. I'm like a bulldog when it comes to stuff like that. People need to be treated fairly regardless whether they can speak good English or not. There's things that we can do to help people.
That's right.
You brought up a very important word, intent. In my former field of being a prosecutor, intent was very important,
because
you couldn't convict somebody unless the state could show the intent to commit the crime.
Right.
But in the situation you brought up where the beneficiary was still the ex-wife and the ex-husband has died, there's really no way of proving that his intent was to give it to his new wife.
None,
unless it's in the will or the trust.
Well, even if it was in the will, that document takes precedent.
Mm-hmm.
That annuity contract, that insurance contract, whoever is written down in that document takes precedent. You can put it in a will or a trust or whatever you want, but if you don't put it in that contract, make a beneficiary change, it ain't going to get happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay, just let me make clear. In other words, if you have a will,
mm-hmm,
and you haven't put your new wife in the annuity contract, the will takes precedent?
Reverse.
That what you're saying?
The will does not take precedent.
Okay.
So what happened? You have an annuity contract or a life insurance contract that has named beneficiaries. And I say, you know, I'm going to make a will up, and I'm going to leave that to Pastor Dave when I die. But I don't notify the insurance company or the retirement account. And Alan Love is written down instead, and I die, Dave, you get nothing. Alan gets it because that's who's written down in that contract. Only way that can be changed is with the change of beneficiary form signed by you, the insured, or if it's your retirement account, whatever it might be. And it's the same in a transfer on death agreement. You have a TOD agreement with your bank account. Transfer on death means you have a checking account at the bank, and it's got your name on it. Well, what happens to that money when you die? Well, you can say, I want it to go to my kids. It's in my will. Okay, fine. That can work. But if you have it written down in the bank as a TOD, that takes precedent. That's first. That's a signed document by you when you're alive, because when it's in your will and you're dead, it's really hard to change it.
And you bring up another point that we've discussed. You know, you can do things on the cheap, cheap will, cheap transfer on death. But when you see these complications that Joe and I are talking about today, if you go for the cheap, you may not wind up getting what you want. So another thing to look at is, where are you going to get the best value for not only what you need, but where you're going to be able to get the experience and paying a reasonable sum for it, not just looking for the cheapest person you can find.
However, you go to the bank and you've got a checking account, savings account, CD, you can put transfer on death or named beneficiaries, and they don't charge you a nickel, and that works. But if you don't have that, it's going to be subject to the courts.
Right.
Now, the courts might say a will would take care of it, a trust would take care of it, but now it goes through a period of time, and there's some expense. But if it's a named beneficiary or a transfer on death agreement, hey, if Alan says, I'm going to put a TOD agreement on my checking account, and Joe Martek gets that money when I die, I show up at the bank with his death certificate, they look it up, and it's got my name, they give me a check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty simple thing to do. If I have it in a will or a trust, same thing, but it might take a week or or 6 months or 3 months or something to get that done as it goes through the court system.
True, and of course, what happens then is sometimes you get family complications and things like that, and that's really, if you have simple, do it simple. Yep. But if you have more than simple, get the best
person you can find.
One of the things you've taught us, Joe, is do not be afraid to seek out a professional's advice.
Oh, man. And, you know, most people, everybody in our group will talk to you and give you advice. They're not going to charge you for any of that. Everybody in our group will talk to you, sit down with you, and try to help you first. If you decide there's something that you need to have done, then it's different. But the bottom line is everybody in our group is here to help you make sure you accomplish your goal, whatever that might be. And if you don't know your goal, we're going to try to figure one out. Let's get it. Young man came in to see me yesterday, and he says, I've been giving my money away to friends, relatives, neighbors, and everything. I have no money left for me. I says, how old are you? I'm 57. I says, well, we better start thinking about you, and let's start putting together retirement plans for you because, hey, you're not going to live forever no matter who you are. 1-888-221-8990. This is toll-free from any place. We're running out of time to take any calls. 888-221-8990. You call that number anytime, Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Karen, Jonathan, somebody will take your name and number, and we will get back to you and help you any way we can. If by chance we don't call you back, don't feel bad about calling again, because last time I walked on water, it was frozen. We are not perfect people.
You'll have an opportunity to walk a lot on water in the next few days, Joe.
Yeah, well, you get your feet wet, though. All right, we're running. Are we running down?
Yes, sir.
How much time do you think we have?
We have exactly 1 minute.
See, he's got these cards. He gets to hold them up. He feels very special when he holds these cards up. I'm impressed. You've got, there's the next one. You've got 30 seconds you're going to hold up.
But not right now.
Not yet. You're going to wait 5 more seconds? Four?
Oh, I've got more than that. I got 15 seconds.
15 seconds. Remember the number, 888. 221-8990. Anybody in our group is here to help you. Greg Fasula, attorney. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Vince Rosino, CPA. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. And last and not least, Joe Martek, financial advisor. And we even have a guest attorney that on occasion comes up with something that's valid. Mr. Alan Love, retired prosecuting from who's not an official member of the group, but he's an unofficial member of the group and has been for a year and a half now.
Just call that number and people at WCNO will put you in contact with the people that matter.
After hours, there is a voicemail for us.
Is there a voicemail too?
Yes, sir.
You guys are cool. I mean, are we almost done?
We're done.
Hey, thank you, and until next week, bye.
Never been a sinner, I never sinned.
You've been listening to the Team Martek Program. The Team Martek Program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek Program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725. Be still.